Welcome back to Miller's Movers, a week off for the Cheltenham Festival, but we're back. And this week, we are simply looking at horses that ran at this year's Cheltenham Festival and have had their mark adjusted or look on a handy mark still. So we'll get straight into it. And the first one I want to speak about is probably my favourite result of the week and my best result of the week, and really big performance from Chianti Classico for Kim Bailey, who took apart the Ultimate, really, could be called the winner from some way out. But he has paid for that. He's gone up £11 this morning to a mark of 154. I was expecting quite a big rise. I'm not sure I was expecting a rise quite as big as that. I thought 8, maybe 9, £11 does seem a lot. And a mark of 154 is going to tell you that he's going to be carrying top weight in handicaps next year. They spoke about campaigning towards the Grand National. That is going to be a big ask of 154. And it's going to be a big ask if he has to carry top weight in handicaps in the early part of the season. I wonder whether they might go the graded route and look at races like the Charlie Hall, the Betfair Chase. You know, he's clearly a horse with a good degree of ability. He jumps very well. That's important. His jumping won him the race. As far as I'm concerned, the Ultimate, he had everything in trouble in behind him. So I think that's quite a tough mark, particularly when you look that Twig, who was runner-up, he's gone up £4 to a mark of 147. He was about 4.5 lengths off. So he gets a fair pull of about £7 in the weights. And that would suggest on paper that he would have a chance of reversing the form of Chianti Classico. But I do think you have to take into consideration, to me, there was only one horse really finishing off strongly on that Tuesday, and that was the winner, Chianti Classico. But £11 rise, perhaps going to give Kim Bailey a little bit of a headache through the summer as to what he does with Chianti Classico on the campaign towards next year's Grand National. One of the few horses that ran well for Nicky Anderson throughout what would be a miserable week for him was Lucky Place. He's gone up £3 to a mark of 140, travelled really well in the Coral Cup, was caught quite wide, but was pretty much the last to come off the bridle turning in, and actually didn't sort of respond to James Bowen's urgence as quickly as perhaps James Bowen would have expected. I would imagine if you gave him his time again, he would look to make his move a little bit sooner, get him rolling quicker, because he was finishing very, very strongly in that Coral Cup. So up three to a mark of 140 looks fair enough, particularly if you take it in light that Nicky Henson's horses largely underperform, so you might reasonably assume that he's got a little bit more to come. And then particularly when you look at his form from Taunton, where he's beaten a very, very short distance, just a nose, by Golden Ace, who is now rated 138 off. She was a very impressive winner of the mare's novice at Cheltenham. So his form all pulls together. I think he's a smart horse, and I think there's still races to be won with him off a mark of 140, and arguably he'll stay further next year. We should just touch while we're talking about the Coral Cup on the winner, Langadan. I don't want to dwell on it too long because I think it was one result of the week that perhaps left a bit of a bitter taste in some people's mouths. I think the handicapper was caught sleeping with him this winter, dropped him fairly quickly, having not raised him all that much for his winning the Coral Cup last year. Looks like he's taken a bit of revenge here. He's put him up £10 to a mark of 151. Dan Skelton did mention directly after the race that they would perhaps be interested in looking at graded company for Langadan, and I think they're certainly going to have to do that now. He's been forced out of handicaps really off a mark of 151, and I think you'll find through the winter, whether his ulcers reoccur or he's just a little bit under the weather, I don't think you'll find the handicapper dropping him quite as readily as he did this winter, once bitten, twice shy and all that. Giovinco was a rare strong point for the British novice chasers. He finished a good third in the Brown Advisory. He's bumped up £2 to a mark of 148. I can't help feeling that perhaps one of the handicaps at the festival went begging by them choosing to run in this Grade 1 contest. But I do understand if you've got a horse capable of running in a Grade 1 at the Cheltenham Festival, why would you not take your chance? But 146 looked reasonable, and I think 148 still is as well, actually. You know, he travelled very nicely. They seemed to change tactic and hold him up a little bit more, settled him right at the back of the field. He jumped very fluidly, travelled very strongly into the race, and was just beaten by two good horses, and one, I think, particularly good horse. In fact, Monty Star is clearly no mug. But he finished very strongly, although I just wonder whether the petrol gauge was running on empty halfway up the hill. He looked to be sort of sticking to it quite well, and then just the last 100 yards slightly weakened out of it. I'd be very interested on proper winter ground, and which we perhaps won't get now this season, but next year, seeing him in a fast run handicap over 2 mile 4, 2 mile 5, I think he'd be very interesting if they kept these tactics they adopted of holding him up going into the spring. It's highly likely that the Russell Yard will still campaign him in graded contests at Aintree. That's the way they seem to like to do things with their novices. But if they were to put him into a handicap over 3 miles on better ground, I think Giovinco is still on a very tasty mark off just 1.48. And then one other Russell horse we should touch on. He's not really sort of a horse for your tracker as such, but just Corrett Rambler, who ran a massive race to finish third in the Gold Cup. He's gone up £3 to a mark of 162, so he's going to be £3 well in come the Grand National, the weights of which are already framed for that. And he's going to be hard to beat if he can get there in best form. I thought he finished a very tired horse at Cheltenham. They do have an extra week to turn him around. I have no idea how quickly this horse bounces back to form regularly. He was sort of campaigned fairly sparingly last year, but the Russell Yard will have known that the Gold Cup was a bonus and oddly a prep race towards the Grand National. They will have known how long this horse takes to get over his races. So you can probably assume he's going to get there in pretty good order, but he did finish a bit tired to me. If he gets there in good order, he's going to be very hard to beat. We know he likes the track and we know he jumps very well around there, and he is going to be the one to beat. For all that, I wouldn't want to be taking his price currently. I'm sure there'll be something that will come from left field to serve it up to him. And arguably, you could say that a mark of 162 actually undervalues what he achieved at the Gold Cup. He was beaten 13 lengths behind Galopin de Champ, who's kept his rating of 179. And the bare facts of it, you could argue that if Corrett Rambler had been given 165, 166, it would have been hard to argue against. But regardless, he's going to get to Aintree, a well-handicapped horse, and will take all the beating in the Grand National itself. Just one horse going down from the Cheltenham Festival that interests me, and it's my old favourite, Kilbeg King for Anthony Honeyball. He's down £2 to a mark of 140. Having run in the National Hunt Chase, didn't seem to stay the 3 mile six, and certainly didn't stay the 3 mile six on ground that he certainly doesn't want. Soft ground is not his ideal. His very best run as a hurdler came last year at the Punchtown Festival, when he won a good handicap off a mark of 126 on good spring ground. He's yet to really have that this campaign. He's built slowly through the season. I thought he was looking like a handicap project. They started him off over a trip short of his best and built him up. They then went to the Quarto Star Novices Chase at Kempton on Boxing Day, and he ran very well, finishing third behind Ile Francais. And I was sure he would go for a handicap at Cheltenham, but he didn't. He went to the National Hunt Chase, ran well for a long way. He jumped very soundly, but he just didn't stay this trip. This mark looks appealing if he goes towards the handicap. Anthony Honeyball has done very well at Punchtown over the years with various different horses. It would be no surprise if he was kept fresh for that. There's plenty of options for him over fences at that festival. So keep an eye out for him off a mark of 140, down £2. I'm sure Kilbeg King is significantly better than that mark, particularly if he gets his preferred spring conditions. A few non-movers to finish with, and two of them come out of the Supreme, actually, where the British horses didn't really feature. But they're not going to have to face off against those in front of them for about 12 months. And I do think the two that represented us, Favour and Fortune, stays on a mark of 138 for Alan King. He jumped really poorly, which is unusual for him. He's normally a sound jumper. Had to work very hard because the mistakes he made stopped his momentum. So he was all the time having to get chased back up to latch onto the back of the field. Given how inefficient that would have made his effort, I thought it was a big effort to still be there challenging going to the last. Weakened out a bit and was ultimately beaten a long way. But this mark of 138, I think, still makes him a very interesting horse. And he's going to be a horse that's better on better ground. He hasn't had it all season. He had to do all his hurdling on desperate ground. He's acquitted himself very well. And if he could get a nice bit of ground and drop into handicap company at Aintree, I think that's a track that will really suit him. And he would certainly interest me off this mark of 138, which is unchanged because he was beaten a fair way. The other horse that was beaten a long way in the Supreme for Team GB was the Ben Pauling trained Teller the Name. He cut out the running and he jumped very, very slickly. But as Keelan Woods had mentioned on these podcasts a couple of weeks before, this ground is not his ground at all. He got bogged down in it at Aintree and he didn't seem to cope with it here either. But he stays on a mark of 135. And when you go back through his form, Dartmoor Pirate, who he beat very easily at Huntingdon on his penultimate start, is rated 123. He beat him by 14 lengths. It could have been 24 lengths. And even going back to his very first run over hurdles, where he was just beaten a nose by Django Bay for Nicky Henson, that horse has run well a couple of times since. He's rated 139, Teller the Name just 135. If the Pauling team drop him into a handicap, again on better ground somewhere, Aintree, Sandown, maybe even up at Ayr, I think that Teller the Name is a really interesting horse for handicaps. Two others, both JP McManus owned. The first is In Excelsis Deo. He was hampered four out in the plate on his first try over 2 mile four. I'd been waiting for him to go over 2 mile four. I was quite excited about his chance in the plate for all that Cribilli, the other McManus horse, was preferred. But he was hampered by the faller, four out. That put him on the back foot. He was already coming from a long way back, and he made huge inroads. He was flying up the hill, was only beaten 4 1/4 lengths. I think that this is a horse that has definitely got a handicap in him. Whether he perhaps goes to the Paddy Power Gold Cup now in November or the December Gold Cup, which would be back on the new course, he's certainly a horse that's worth following. Much was made after the race that Cribilli was the eye catcher, and he's a winner in waiting. Just don't fancy this horse around Cheltenham at all. That's the second time now that he's just not jumped anywhere near well enough. And unless they can sort that out, I don't think he looks a horse to be taken forward. But conversely, In Excelsis Deo, I think, certainly does. That was his first try at 2 mile four. He was certainly seen in a better light for it. And he's a horse that I'll keep on side off an unchanged mark of 137. And then the other JP horse that didn't change was No Ordinary Joe, who I really hoped might have turned up the books and given Nicky Henson an unlikely winner in the Martin Pike at the end of the week. But pretty much like all Nicky's horses, he travelled well to the final hurdle and then just emptied. And we know that that is not stamina, because he was second in this race off just a pound lower the year before. So the trip is clearly no issue. Travelled very, very well through the race and then just emptied going to the last. I think this has probably been his target all season. So the fact that that's gone begging because of the unfortunate situation with Nicky Henderson's yard form, I'm sure they're going to want to try and land a little pot somewhere. Sandown, Air, Aintree, No Ordinary Joe is certainly on my radar off a mark of 140, which is unchanged, and it's just a pound higher than when he was second in the Martin Pipe at last year's Cheltenham Festival. And I just wanted to finish with two pieces of housekeeping, if you like. Stuart contacted me on X directly and just asked, and I had noticed it, I wasn't going to mention it, but Stuart brought it to my attention again, so I will answer it for you, Stuart. Iberico Lord, to round off what was a pretty miserable week for Nicky Henderson, has bizarrely gone up a pound to a mark of 144 from 143 for running pretty poorly in the champion hurdle. It was sort of the one of run of the week where you really sort of started to think, yeah, these Nicky Henderson horses are not going to be featuring this week. I can only think it's because of the collateral form link with Lo de Sud, because it was far too far out, his sort of weakening to handicap him off that. But he's gone up, but Lo de Sud has gone up £3 to a mark of 138 for his second in the county hurdle. Iberico Lord beat him 2 1/4 lengths in the Betfair hurdle, giving him £5. I think that's a reasonable line of form still. I would be siding with Iberico Lord every single time against Lo de Sud, given the same conditions. And I think you have to bear in mind the fact that the team were prepared to supplement him for the champion hurdle, given that the horse that came out for Nicky Henderson wasn't a JP horse, so it wasn't like JP was wanting representation in the champion hurdle. The fact they were prepared to supplement him does suggest that they hold this horse in really high regard. So perhaps Iberico Lord off a mark of 144, assuming Nicky Henderson gets his team back in order sooner rather than later, he might still be a well-handicapped horse. But to answer your question, Stuart, it definitely wasn't because of his run in the champion hurdle. I'm pretty certain it will be collateral form with Lo de Sud from the county. And then one other horse that needs mentioning is Harper's Brook. He stays on a mark of 140. He was beaten in the region of 32 lengths in the Grand Annual, but his girth snapped, or Keelan Wood's girth snapped, and the saddle slipped. Now, Harper's Brook, how do I describe him? He's a bit like international rugby for me. It's great to watch, but I have absolutely no intention of ever getting involved. He's not a horse for me. But if you were with Harper's Brook, and plenty of shrewd judges put him up for the Grand Annual, Keelan Woods loved him, said he's the sort of horse that would have the pace to travel in a champion chase. If he's the sort of horse you like, and you thought he was well handicapped off a mark of 140, the fact that his girth snapped and the saddle slipped means you should absolutely put a line through that run in the Grand Annual. Don't lose the faith if you've kept it so far. He's a horse that will perhaps be, I say, winning races. He'll be there at the death of races. Whether he relents to put his head in front on the line is an entirely different matter. But if you're backing Harper's Brook, you are clearly factoring that into your thinking. So that's the end of this week's Miller's Movers, a sort of Cheltenham special. I'll be back next Tuesday with a more regular look at the handicap movers and shakers. As ever, if I've missed a horse or I've said a horse is well handicapped off a mark you think is not well handicapped, do let me know. We can discuss it next time. Until then, I'll see you then.